Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Daytona Beach International Airport, offering new nonstop service to New York City and Boston, Massachusetts. Daytona Beach International Airport features convenient access to the terminal, easy and close parking, and more. Details at flydab.com.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage. Theme parks are built around the idea of having all visitors share in a magical experience. That's not always the reality for some plus-size guests. Engage producer Richard Copeland speaks to Tigress Osborne, executive director of the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance.
I know that our use of the word fat is sometimes questioned by folks who are not used to hearing it used that way, but I do tend to use that word to talk about myself and to talk about people collectively.
We know that amusement parks and other kinds of entertainment can be really fraught for larger bodied people. When you are a fat person, you have to think about not just whether the equipment actually fits you, but the perceptions of equipment operators about whether it will fit you, the perceptions of other people who are attending whatever that amusement is, and your own feelings about what will happen if you do not have access to the same kinds of fun things that everybody else is doing while you are there at the park or at, you know, any other venue, whether it's a water park, amusement park, a sports facility, you know, skydiving, bungee jumping, like any of those things. Many things in the real world have weight limits, and often businesses have not been attentive to thinking about whether there are safe ways to expand those weight limits. They just haven't thought about the fact that people over those weight limits exist, or they just accept that if you are that big, you don't deserve to have fun. So go lose weight and then come back. And so if we're thinking about inclusion, one thing that could happen is design could work differently when we are creating things from the ground up. But when it's something like an amusement park that's already existed, especially an older amusement park that's existed for, you know, years, if not decades, and the things were built without taking any of that into account, then part of what you have to do is you have to do the guessing game of whether or not the things are accessible to you, because it's not always clear. So, for example, at most amusement parks, they'll have little signs for whether you are tall enough to ride a ride safely. But they may or may not have sample seats where you can check before you wait in line for an hour to see if you are going to be able to safely harness yourself in for a ride. Some parks do that really well, and they will have a sample seat at the front of the ride line so that you can know before you spent all that time in line. And so you can figure it out with a smaller audience than in front of the entire line of people who've been waiting. But most don't. And so it's a guessing game. There's a lot of community resource sharing. There are several park hopper groups that are targeted at plus size folks that where people share advice or share their experiences. But a lot of people don't know that before they go. So they just take the gamble when they go with their family or when they go with their friends of whether or not they're going to be able to fully participate in the experience that everyone else is having.
Is this something that you've experienced yourself?
I've always been a plus size person, but since I've been a person that's been a larger plus size person who can't fit some rides, I will do things like reach out to some of the travel bloggers or, you know, look for resources online that tell me a little bit more about which rides are going to be accessible to me. I can fit some rides, I can't fit other rides. And there are other entertainment experiences where I just won't take the gamble. Like, for example, I went to the water park with my family last year, and I wasn't going to take the gamble of climbing five stories and waiting in line for half an hour to be told at the top of the water slide that I was too big and have to walk all the way back down. Whereas I also went to a Fat Splash event in Minneapolis last summer, where everybody was using the water slides already because it was an event that was specifically planned for larger people. I already knew that if that person could use the water slide, so could I. And so I didn't have that same risk in going to the top. And that allowed me to go down a water slide for the first time in 25 years. So, you know, when things are planned with larger bodied folks in mind, then we can experience those things without having to worry about the stress or wasted time or humiliation of having it go a different way.
Should these parks be more cogent about designing attractions that are more universally accessible?
The entire world should be more cogent about designing things that are accessible to a wide variety of folks. You know, it is a reality that literally everything on Earth may not be able to be built or rebuilt in a way that is accessible to everybody. But that should be our standard, right? Our standard should be there are lots of different kinds of bodies in the world in terms of size, in terms of width, height, ability, disability, all kinds of different things about how people's bodies work, what kind of space we need, what it takes to get in and out of a ride, things like that. And those things should be being considered in design. If I can't ride every single ride at an amusement park, but there are many things at the park that I can do, that I'm still able to have a fun thing. I might have some disappointment around a particular ride, but there are other things that are accessible to me. But if nothing in the entire landscape is accessible to me, then not, it's not just that I've been out, it's that huge segments of our communities, huge segments of our population have been left out. And so if the standard is, we want everybody to come and be able to have a good time in our space, then you have to be thinking about all the different kinds of bodies when you're planning or replanning the space. So the sort of legal concept of reasonable accommodation can be applied to fun places too. It doesn't have to just be applied to education and businesses. It can be applied to the places that we go for entertainment, our movie theaters, our Broadway theaters, our amusement parks, our outdoor recreation facilities, like whatever that is. When you're thinking about the whole community using a thing, then you should be thinking about all the variety of bodies that could possibly be using that thing and making sure that there's some way for people to participate in one way or another. And when you can't redo all the things, right? We can't, you know, if you take a 50-year-old amusement park and say, you know, we're going to do all these renovations, that might not be reasonable by the time I'm going to go to the park next year, right? But when you're doing renovations anyway, are you taking into account whether you can make the ride more accessible for disabled people, for larger people, for whomever? And when you can't, are you taking into account how your staff will handle that when somebody shows up who wants to participate in what you are offering and cannot participate? Are they going to be treated with compassion and kindness, or are they going to be treated with rudeness and blame and judgment? Because that's a very different experience in the park.
What would you say to park operators who say to maintain competitiveness, we have to have cutting edge attractions, faster, taller rides, and safety becomes an issue?
I want you to consider safety. I don't want you to put me on a ride that is unsafe for me just to protect my feelings about being turned away from the ride. But I don't think it's true that in the development of parks, that there are no possible ways to make at least some of the attractions more accessible. I just don't think that's true. The question is the will there? Right? The question is, do you see plus size park attendees as your customers? Is it that you literally can't do it, or is it that you just haven't thought about how to do it? And, you know, we hear this argument a lot about all different kinds of public accommodations, right? It would be too expensive for us to do that, or it would be too much work for us to do that, or it's not possible for us to do that. But you can't be amongst the most innovative designers in the world creating these like death-defying attractions and not be able to think outside of the box in at least some ways, to find some challenges that you can rise to make even more people be able to participate in those attractions. So again, like it might not be every single attraction in the park. There might be some things where it is actually physically impossible to accommodate people over a certain weight or people under a certain height or people over a certain height. We think about how these things affect people who are not tall enough. There are some rides that a very, very tall person may not be able to lock the safety bars over their legs, but there's not the same judgment for them if they have to walk away from the line as there is for somebody who's a fat person, because there's not the same assumption that they could just change themselves and then they would have access. Fat people are amongst the only people to whom we say, if you don't like the fact that you can't participate in something, you should go change yourself and then come back. So when we think about other people who might not have access, and we are innovators, then we think about how we might create access for them. But when it comes to fat people, what we think about is how they might change their bodies so that they can have access. And I'm going to say, if you are an innovator, if you are amongst the most creative people in the world at thinking about how to manipulate time and space so people can have, you know, a thrilling experience, then get even more creative and think about how more people in lots of different kinds of bodies can do that.
That was Engage producer Richard Copeland speaking to Tigris Osborne, executive director of the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.